Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game, playing at the beautiful stadium that is the Emirates tonight for a League Cup match. But first, we need to quickly talk about Wolves. We're going to get on to that in a moment with a friend of the show, David Townsend. But first of all, making his debut, we have Leo, don't we, Leo? Welcome to the show.
Hi folks, yeah, I'm Leo. I've been a fan for just the 51 years, home and away. So
just the 51?
Yeah, yeah. It's been a roller coaster and all the rest of it. But yeah, I mean, these are the best of times, so what's not to like?
Yep. We've just come off the back of back-to-back wins now. After a sticky start result-wise, if not performance-wise, we've now not only thrashed Chelsea 4-1, and everybody enjoyed that one, but we've got a second consecutive win away at Wolves, 3-2 this time, going a goal up, 2-1 down, and coming back to win 3-2. As you said, it doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we're in dreamland in many ways. Phenomenal that we could actually beat 10 men. There have been so many games where we've been against 10 men or even 9 men and we couldn't beat them. So take nothing for granted. It's another fantastic win and just terrific to see us above Chelsea in the table in particular.
Isn't it? Yeah, we've ended up back where we started when Potter left, which was just above them. So it's quite nice to be back there now. It's great. Different scorers again. We got 7 goals in 2 games. So who said we couldn't score? Okay, a couple of those were OGs in the Chelsea match, but nonetheless. But 3 different scorers again. Mittema, man of the match, was outstanding. Lallana had an absolute blinder and managed to last a fair old while. His goal was absolutely brilliant to start things off. Mittema's header, and then of course Mittema was key in setting up Pascal Gross's goal, which for some reason Dennis Undav laid it on for Pascal Gross, and he's had no credit for getting the assist. I've looked on SofaScore, BBC, doesn't seem to be mentioned anywhere. Cruel injustice for a man who's surely desperate for some credit in these early days with the Albion.
Yeah, I'm sure you're absolutely right. He's had no real opportunity yet. I think it's important that Albion fans don't form a judgment on him, because he's had no time, he's had no minutes at all whatsoever. I think if you look carefully, that's probably the Wolves defender who's inadvertently put him right in the path of Pascal. And as we all know, Pascal is the best finisher in the club, especially late on. He's got a phenomenal stamina, and his ability to finish is unerring when it matters.
I need to have a look back at that, because I was convinced Undav got the touch. I'm sure the defender wouldn't mind the credit going elsewhere, even though it's not an own goal scenario, but still, there we go. So yeah, 51 years then, Leo. Where did it all start? Tell us just a little bit about your early days in terms of who were your heroes, what were your cultural experiences going to the game back in the day?
Yeah, proper cultural experiences. I mean, I remember very vividly my dad taking me 1971 Port Vale at home. It's a 1-1 draw. my hero really is Brian Houghton, who was the best captain the Albion ever had. And I only found out recently that he actually played in my first ever game, but for Port Vale. So I'd seen him play, but I didn't have no memory of it, of course, age 8 or whatever. And I was pleased. And I did get to meet him fairly recently when he did a book signing in home, and I got his book signed. So that was really good. Yeah,
brilliant. I've had the pleasure of meeting him as well. Lovely guy, really nice guy. As is the man sitting next to you tonight, Mr. David Townsend, friend of the show. Hello, David. How are you? And how have you been enjoying the last couple of games?
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. And unfortunately, I didn't go to Wolves, but listened to the commentary on BBC Sussex and saw the highlights later. And so pleased that Lallana, that it was at last some end product from Lallana, which for all his lovely touches, his finishing hasn't been great. And I think it's only his second goal for the Albion. So very pleased that he scored. And his assist was a thing of beauty as well for Mittema. I just think it looks really encouraging now. And you get the feeling now, that goals can come from all over the park now, rather than just from one or two players. I think it bodes well. It'd be interesting to see how we get on against Villa on Sunday, given the new manager bounce there. It looks like, we're continuing. We can go toe-to-toe with the big boys, but actually probably have more chance of scoring now as well. So I think it's looking good, and I'll be looking forward to our European tour next year.
I really hope so, David. I hope you're right. Well said. In terms of the scoring, by the way, you're right. Yeah, I mean, we are getting goals from all over. That's what we need. I think De Zerbi's on record as saying that he's not too fussed about getting a striker in the January window, which will be interesting to see what happens in the end. In terms of scorers in the Premier League, Albion scorers, Glenn Murray, well, he's had 37 Premier League goals. He's got 26 for us, which is tied with Neil Morphy, both of whom, of course, are not playing for us anymore. Leandro Trossard is only one behind on 25 after his goal against Chelsea. Pascal Gross is up to 22 now, all, of course, for the Albion. And then after that, you've got Danny Welbeck on 12 for the Albion, albeit he's had 56 overall. And you mentioned Adam Lallana. Where is it? 2 goals for us, 32 goals overall in the Premier League. A little bit more than I thought he had, actually. He must have got some for Saints as well as Liverpool. Yeah. But I've got to say, it's looking odds on that Leandro will take the spoils this season. I can't see him getting overtaken by Pascal Gross. The only issue around that is if there's a sale in January. I don't see that happening. Newcastle Vlogs and other media outlets are trying to push the notion that he's going for 30 million or so in January. I don't think we'll sell him for any price in January unless it's utterly ridiculous money. Would you agree with that? Because we need to keep hold of him, don't we? For the rest of this year.
Yeah, I think, despite what Leo said about Pascal Gross, I really think that Trossard is the most natural finisher at the club. So I think it's imperative that we hold on to him at least until the summer. I know Lallana and De Zerbi have said, that we don't need another striker. But, obviously, Undaf hasn't had the game time yet, so we don't know how that's going to pan out. But I still feel that it would be good to bring someone in January in case Trossard or Gross goes through a lean spell. So, yeah. I think that it would be really good if they could strengthen, but if they don't, then I'm encouraged by what I've seen recently and what we've scored, 3 or 4 and a 3 at Anfield under De Zerbi. So I think it's moving in the right direction.
Yep. And tonight, Arsenal away. The Emirates, we've been here a few times, we've had very happy hunting ground success at all London grounds last season, and North London in particular was ours, as the song went. I wonder if we'll get a result tonight. I'm having a look to see if the teams are in actually so far. We're at the Tufnell Park Tavern, an excellent pub, subtle lighting, lovely beers, really good food, quite enjoyable, quite frankly. But in terms of the teams, I'm just having a look through. Can't see any information yet. There must be something out there, but apparently not. So I would imagine plenty of changes. I'm hoping Undav will get a start, but we'll have to wait and see. But in the meantime, we'll probably catch a bit of audio of the game. But David, let's enjoy ourselves. Let's hope for a good game. I don't know how many fans we've got coming to this. We've been given the option of loads, but I don't know how many we've taken.
Well, I read this morning that we've got over 6,000 coming. I think it was 6,300 tickets have been sold as of this morning.
Oh, so, fantastic.
Which is incredibly impressive, really, for a League Cup match midweek.
So, yeah, same old stadiums we used to go to as well.
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
new there, is there?
Yeah, yeah. So at least someone will be making some noise at the Emirates tonight.
Yeah.
At the library.
I've got Jacko with me. 1-0 down, on dead on halfway in the first half. A few minutes later, we've equalised. Danny Welbeck pulled down, put it the goalie the wrong way from the penalty spot against his former club. How was that?
Brilliant. We fully deserved it. We've been the better team. Arsenal have had one shot. It's a great goal, I have
to say. Against the runner play.
Fully deserved the equaliser. Yeah. So pleased with Danny. First goal of the season against
his
old club.
Oh, what timing. What timing.
Come on, Albion.
Yes, come on.
He left us your shit. He left us your shit. He left us your shit.
So we've reached half time. I'm with Jacko, who I was chatting to a little bit earlier, and with his friend Julian, friend of the show. Let's go to you, Julian. You haven't been on yet this podcast. What do you make of the first half?
It was sort of we had a few chances sort of very early on. Could have maybe scored quite early, but Arsenal came back into it. Quite an open game.
Yeah.
It's been filled with more goals in it. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought we were the more dominant side. Teams have more possession overall until they scored. We let them in down the left side, and Reece Nelson was in on the left side, I think it was. They sit in the corner. Good goal, to be fair, but not really. I don't think a goal they deserve.
No, it's been quite even, but to be fair, I can't remember very many chances other than the penalty since we scored. I think it's been mainly them.
Yep.
So yeah, I think it's sort of been, they look quite good, but it's an open game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you can hear all this above the PA, which is rather loud. Yeah. One other thing that's loud, and that's a bit unusual, or fairly loud anyway, is the Arsenal fans. They've got an ultra section away to our left, behind the goal. What's going on there, Jacko?
Well, I just think they're kind of like a rich people's Crystal Palace, aren't they? with their little drum. I mean, it's the first time I've ever heard any singing at the Emirates, and goodness knows how many visits, so I guess that's an improvement. But we're out singing them throughout the game, as ever.
And they made the fatal mistake of giving it the big one, lots of mouth, when they scored, which of course led to a scoring soon afterwards and reciprocated straight away.
It was all jolly holly hockey sticks, wasn't it? But you're always going to give it back if you've got some from the home fans.
When will people ever know there's always comeuppance in football? Yeah. All the time.
That's why I always try not to give it out too much, because they know there could be a nasty sting in
the
tail.
Although I was guilty of doing exactly that when we scored.
You and me both.
Anyway, hopes for the second half. Do you think we can win this? And if so, in normal time, because it goes all the way to penalties.
It goes to penalties, which my nerves can't stand. I mean, I think, as Julian said, that Arsenal came into it. I think the last 15 minutes of the half, Arsenal were on top. You have to give them credit. They're playing really nice football, really knocking it around.
Yeah.
We've defended well on the whole. So I hope if we can start the second half like we started the first, I'm really optimistic. But if Arsenal carry on as they were towards the end of the first half, I think I'm a bit more pessimistic. But it's a really even game.
Yeah.
Could go either way, and we're right in it. That's all you could ask for at half time away from home.
Yeah. Arsenal have put out a reasonably strong squad. We put out a strong squad. Yeah. Not many replacements from the obvious. Billy Gilmore's one of the ones that has started. He's looked good, isn't he?
I like the look of him. He's not kind of giving the ball away. He's looking to get forward. I think most of the guys that have come in, I think Cole will, first time I've really seen him, other than tiny little appearance, coming on as a sub to run the clock down. He's looked pretty solid.
Yeah, he looked solid at Forest Green. I went to that one. He looked so, easier opposition, but still nonetheless.
Yeah.
He looked good.
No, I think it's the same.
And Lamptey on the left,
he's done okay. Made one mistake towards the end of the first half, and he's taken a couple of quite heavy knocks as well. We all love Tarek, don't we? So,
absolutely.
It's good to see him get a start.
I think Wilbeck's looking up for it, obviously.
Yeah.
There was no way he wasn't going to take that penalty, was it?
No, absolutely. I'm glad he put that one away, because I think the last one he took for us, he missed. So,
And of course, McAllister's not on the pitch, so he had to go with someone different anyway.
Exactly.
We've got a reasonably strong squad out, decent bench still as well. Fingers crossed for the second half. And Julian, how do you see it going? Do you reckon we're going to nab this?
I wonder if it might go to penalties, actually.
I think it might do.
I think that it's sort of, I'm imagining it will be a second half similar to the first.
Yeah.
And, perhaps we can hold on, or that it will be, there'll be goals second half, and it'll end up at all level and
come on
be penalties.
Come on, yeah, Alvin. Let's hope it goes. Let's hope we win it in normal time. That'd
exactly,
be nice.
Yeah, be back for our nerves.
Exactly. More time for a drink afterwards, too. Wondering what that noise was. We're 2-1 up, aren't we, Jacko?
Oh, well.
And it's guess who, as you heard from the start.
Oh, what a goal. And Cisco is brilliant.
Brilliant.
I mean, it's a really, really good goal in the build-up.
Exceptor brought it on.
Yeah.
Twiddle about, got round one player, laid
fantastic.
It off.
It wasn't selfish, because when I saw Cisco in his first couple of appearances, I thought I kind of admired him for it, but he's got the kind of sight of goal and he's shot. But this time he saw Mitoma, laid it on for him, and a brilliant finish.
And there's a perfect curl finish in the corner.
Yeah.
Not dissimilar to when Cassius
opened. No, it's quite similar.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And we've just been singing Mitoma's song as well.
You're not singing anymore.
Thomas getting upset in the top tier over there. Looks like he might be about to lose his balance. Oh no.
Oh no.
What a fantastic goal again. That's his pace that time. That's all about the pace, and he kept his balance to take. And now we're singing his name.
Even though he wasn't playing on the right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who cares?
We can't think of anything to rhyme with left. I think they were saying scaring him to death. They were trying to get going, but anyway.
Arsenal feel bereft.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
But anyway. Come on, Albion, let's hold out now.
It's a proper raucous celebrations too. We've got the ultras right behind us.
Yeah.
It's like a boxing match here when we score.
I'll tell you.
We are Brighton. We are Brighton. Super Brighton. From the south. We are Brighton. Super Brighton. We are Brighton. From the south. We are Brighton, Super Brighton, from the south. We are Brighton, Super Brighton, we are Brighton, from the south.
Oh, what a scramble in the box. Second goal on the, roughly on the hour, I think, wasn't it? Third goal, 72nd minute. Here we go again. Danny on the ball. Is he going to have a go? Oh, oh, corner. Well done, Danny. Well done, Danny. Corner right down in front of us. Not 4-1, that was too much. Chelsea are 2-0 down at City.
Arsenal are going out. Tottenham are losing. Forest. This could be ours this year. You never know.
North London is ours, at least.
Absolutely is.
Second half.
Yeah, we
have. First 10 minutes, a bit shaky. Yeah. After that, two brilliant goals. Yeah. We've absolutely controlled it.
It's been great.
Fantastic performance.
Superb. Great performance. Yeah. The fans have been brilliant as well.
The fans have been brilliant.
And the Arsenal fans, speaking of which, with a minute to go of stoppage time, I think half of them have gone already.
Yeah, I'd say at least half.
About 50, about 25,000 people have left.
Yeah, exactly. Always a good sight.
I love it. So deserving is doing the same thing with a bigger winning margin.
Okay,
I'll take that. Jacko, to check out his goal celebrations. Too busy doing my own.
No.
Did he come on the pitch again? Who knows?
Let's hope.
Show Graham, who was just in the row in front of me. You always seem to be near me in away grounds. I don't know how that keeps happening. We're not doing it on friends and family, but...
No, because I'm the worst stalker in the world, boss.
Yeah.
I mean, about time you noticed me.
Arsenal last season, I'm pretty sure you were about the same distance. About five seats away.
That's why I had to be there.
Yeah. And we were there, and we were here tonight, and boy, were we glad to be here. We've just done Arsenal, the best team in England, according to the league table. As you said, it changes both sides. And we beat them 3-1.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's come from a goal down as well.
Yeah.
Special, special win, loss. Special night.
Exactly. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's exciting times.
Great times. I'll catch you next time. Cheers. Cheers, Graham.
So walking home after the game, an excellent 3-1 win away at the Emirates. We just love North London, don't we? And we love winning away at Arsenal. I've got a mate who's an Arsenal fan. He can't stand Brighton because we just keep stitching them up. But what some wins. We're into the next round. Liverpool scraped through on penalties, but Spurs are out. They lost 2-0 at Forest. Chelsea are out, albeit that was 2-0 against Man City. And, well, Arsenal are out as well. Man United are playing Villa. There's a lot of the big teams are out already, which is great news. Also great news is, of course, Crystal Palace are out. They lost on penalties, poor dears. Oh well, I'm sure we'll all get over that in the end. So, brilliant. Three wins in a row. 10 goals in 3 games. fantastic run of form for Roberto De Zerbi. Some of the media already reporting Arsenal's 10 changes may have cost them. Nobody's mentioning our 8 changes. Of course not. Why would they? But we don't care because we're into the next round. That's all that matters. The last 16, third time in a row we've done that. But we've only ever got to the quarter-final stage, which is one step on from now. So if we can get a favourable draw tomorrow, Thursday, or even if we don't, we might get through to the quarters again. I already fancy a cup run. Why not? I don't think we need to just concentrate on the league. We can do both, as you've seen with the squad depth that we proved tonight. Anyway, fantastic going out. Broke off from the others, so I didn't get a chance to speak to everyone after the game, but we heard from Jacko there, thanks to him. We also heard from Julian and David, friends of the show, and a little bit from Leo, who also made his debut. So thanks to all of them. Thanks to everyone that went along. There were 6,300 there, apparently, supporting the Albion, and what a great day. Absolutely fantastic. So, until next time, stand or fall, up the Albion. And so there we go, that's all the audio for the Arsenal game, and we move now to Saturday. Further reflections on Arsenal to come, but first of all, just to mention, we're doing another groundhopping day, aren't we, Peter?
We are. And we're looking United.
We're looking at a giant giraffe mascot. Well, not a giant giraffe.
And we're not hallucinating, honestly.
We haven't had too much to drink. There is a very long-necked animal walking around with a collection for poppy appeal, I think, which is interesting. Anyway, more on that later. But yeah,
giraffes were heavily involved in the war.
They were, they? Giraffes, yes. I'm not sure about that. But
they could look over the trenches, really.
They took the risks for us, yeah. So, we're at Gander Green Lane for Sutton United against Bradford.
Ticking off. Chatting to some Bradford fans.
Bradford fans, good guys. Guy and gal. They're very
early
grounded.
Start this morning.
Classic grounded fans. They ran into some Leeds fans. You were delighted to hear and got into a
They've
bit of banter.
They've got a similar view of Leeds fans than we have.
And apparently they were going to get the big one. Yeah. Who knew that was going
to
happen?
Leeds is unlikely to do that, isn't it?
Especially against rival teams as well. But anyway, we're looking forward to ticking off our 86th ground, both
League
of us.
Ground, yeah.
Not the same 86, but we're not far off.
Only one away from each other.
One difference. You need Wimbledon, I need Salford.
We've been planning our trip up for potentially for Morecambe, Accrington and Harrogate over the next few months.
So we could be on 89 by the end of this month, next month, which would be great. Anyway,
crazy times.
Back to the Arsenal game, Peter. I did some match day special stuff. I didn't speak to you about it. You were at the game though. What were your thoughts and reflections on it?
It wasn't great, you know. It was a pretty ordinary night, you know. It's just getting boring when it's the Emirates now. It's too easy. But yeah, I think probably for you and me, having missed the last season, well, it probably meant more, probably even more. Yeah. So yeah, great performance. Thought we started really well, dominant in the early stages. Had all the chances, then they scored against the run of play.
Yeah.
And we're looking a bit threatening after we, and then from nowhere we scored the penalty.
Yeah.
And second, rest of the half was not much happened. Second half they came out like a steam train, hit the post, had a really good save from Steele.
Yeah.
And then from nowhere again, similarly to the other way around from the first half, we scored.
Yeah.
And then from there we controlled the rest of the game, I think.
Yeah.
Despite the fact they kept bringing on more and more first team players, we never looked in under threat, and really nice second and third goals. Brilliantly taken, thoroughly deserved to win.
And as we were chatting on the train down here to Sonny Sutton, we were just saying about 3-1, I think, was about the right result. Although Mikel Arteta seems to think that they deserve to win. I don't know which delusional glasses he had on there.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. I think they had 10-15 minutes out of the second half where they were well on top. Other than that, we were at least level, if not well on top of them, most of them.
I never understand why managers say that sort of thing, because it makes them just look like fools.
To be honest, it showed that, interestingly, that, you know, despite the fact that our team only cost 27 million, our reserves are significantly better than theirs. Although we had two more players who played the weekend.
Do we have a largely changed team as well? I thought it was just Arsenal, according to the BBC.
Yes, apparently it's like we played our first team and Arsenal played their reserves, and it was still a shock.
Yeah.
Which I don't quite understand the logic there.
Yeah, it's been reported as a shock. And those that didn't say that said, Arsenal were knocked out by Brighton. It wasn't that we won through with a storming victory. And what was reported on the BBC was the 10 changes.
Yeah.
And they said nothing about ours, which implied. Yeah.
And still call it a shock.
We had 8 changes.
Still call it a shock.
Still a shock, yeah.
It makes zero sense.
How contrary is it?
Also, I just had to say that I wasn't happy with the draw.
Yes.
The draw has not been
very inconvenient to have to go.
Yeah.
I'm having
a whole 10-minute walk to get to the away end at Charlton. It is. It's going to be horrendous. It's like.
You've been waiting for 3 years, haven't you?
I'm basically kind of going to have crazy travel issues. I'm going to have to leave probably have to take day off work to get to that game. It's just going to be horrendous.
You probably will have to allow extra time to get.
get there than what you would have done, though, because it appears that every Albion fan you know has invited themselves around to your house, pre and post match.
Yeah, and for the whole week, apparently, as well.
And it's leading up to Christmas, so we're all just having Christmas around.
We'll have Christmas at mine, we'll have the World Cup final at mine, we can just stay there for the new year as well.
Glad tidings, Peter.
Yeah, there's a little space on the floor over there if you want to sleep over there, you know. It's going to be perfect.
The Cats are not going to know what's hit them, are they?
Yeah, they're going to go away for a few weeks. They're going to take their walk off with a suitcase and bugger off.
I wouldn't blame them, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. All listeners out there, come to my house.
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant. It's the wrong way round, in a way, isn't it? Getting Arsenal before Charlton doesn't seem the right way round, but
yeah.
we'll take it. Having got through the Arsenal game, we'll certainly take it. No guarantees or anything, but just on the Arsenal game, by the way, I don't think I mentioned it on the matchday special element of this podcast, but we started with Steele in goal. We had a very good game, I thought. Lamptey played left back. Then we had Dunk, Colwell, and
The worry is Lamptey playing left back does kind of screw the song up.
Yeah, it did. Scared to Death we've gone with as an alternative rhyme. We have Veltman.
I think his touch is deft as well.
Touch is deft, yes, exactly. We did have Caicedo in the field, but Billy Gilmore
looked really good. Like
he looked good,
yeah. Kept the ball ticking over.
Yeah, solid marches in there.
The front three of, the three behind Welbeck of Enkiso, March and Tom Into, especially the two South Americans, look really lively.
Yeah, really good.
They don't have any sort of fear of shooting, do they? Really encouraging given our lack of shooting quite a lot.
Sarmiento obviously had already made an impression in the small time he had. He's come back into it, just coming back to match fitness, and he's saying he's been building up to it slowly, and it's been a good recovery period after all the frustration.
See how much time he gets in the World Cup, whether he gets like
I think he'll definitely get nominated, and then beyond that,
I think he'll get in the squad. Yeah, no matter where he.
And
there was some report that they wanted to be called up earlier, and they wanted him to go before the weekend. Yeah,
and Ciso obviously has already made an impression. He played played very well in the Forest Green game. He's come on as a sub in a couple of matches, most notably obviously the recent match against Chelsea. He's getting involved, and he looked good. He looked really good.
Yeah.
Again, direct shot.
The second goal, the interchange between, it's exactly what De Zerbi wants, the kind of like bringing the defenders in, the attackers into the defenders, and then having tight working between Sarmiento and Kiso and Veltman on the line, which then left Sarmiento running through at their defence, and suddenly their defence was stretched, and Mitoma, He looks
like
£2.5 million.
What's the snip?
He looks ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that goal, as you said, that second goal was a mixture of a typical De Zerbi style and the quality as well that we're now learning to expect from him.
And also the fact that these players aren't even the first choice, a lot of them. So they're still the fact that they're working and training as well as everyone is.
Yeah, proportionally speaking, we have got better strength and depth than Arsenal for what we're doing. In terms of them, they've had a bonus today. We've already found out that Man City have lost to a 98th minute winner against Brentford, which is a sensational result for them. They're still two behind us. We've got two games in hand, so we're not too worried about that. But what a result for them. But anyway, going back to the League Cup, London's only team left is Charlton. All of the Premier League teams, all of the London other teams are out. That involved Palace losing on penalties. What a shame.
Although I kind of wanted them to win in a way, because Newcastle are probably one of the big threats.
Yeah, true.
I was kind of like...
True, Yeah, it's a good point. But City obviously beat Chelsea, so Chelsea were out, and City have drawn Liverpool, which is brilliant.
Them,
That's great news. United beat Villa, so Villa are out, West Ham are out.
But City's the only one I don't think I really, really would scare me. You know, we've beaten United.
But Liverpool are capable of
beating
City.
We've beaten Liverpool recently, certainly got draws up there, which have been penalties. You know, we've beaten Newcastle over the years, although they might be the second best one at the moment.
So
it's just City.
We need Liverpool to beat City, don't we? Because Liverpool can have a bad one against a Newcastle, and they get rid of them, and then there we go. So we're in the fourth round.
Charlton first, though.
We've only been in the fifth round, which is the quarterfinals,
once,
and that was 1978-79, which is the year before I started supporting. So it's great if we can at least equal that and preferably beat it.
Well, incredibly, we've been in now. They say the stat I read was we've been in the fourth round three times in a row now, which is unheard of for us.
Hmm. Yeah, that's
obviously it's easier now. We've got one fewer round, but.
Exactly. Mitoma, so he finished this time not with his head, which is what he was doing in his first game, first goal at Wolves. That was a good finish.
Which was really well taken. And the interesting thing about him was that it was actually the day last weekend at Wolves, Jermaine Genus saying that he wasn't sure, having watched the game, having watched the game, he wasn't sure if he was right or left footed, and because he just comes in or out. And
when you're not sure, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that
the defenders won't be either. And
the clincher on Wednesday, the Lamps. 81. Laid off by Billy Gilmore, yeah, and then Lamptey did most of the footwork. Broke forward quite a bit, gone into the box.
Left his defender training his way.
The challenge, looked like he might fall over for a second. Kept his footing. One or two steps later, nudges it in with his left foot, interestingly.
Yeah.
Seeing as he was on the left side. And,
yes,
and
he had no choice but to go for it there with his left. Yeah. I think his right would have probably made him fall over,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Fantastic times. Yeah. In terms of other news.
We never really looked in danger at that point afterwards as well.
We didn't really, did we? No. No, not particularly so. Just going back to one other thing as well. Final word on this, really, until we play them at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea. Got more rants on this one. First of all, on Robin, one thing Robin said after the 4-1 win, he said, I warmed to Potter during his entire tenure. There was something about his nice guy routine that I found a bit hollow. The mask slipped a couple of times, and again in his post-match interview on Saturday, it was obviously Saturday after the game, Potter recently said, in one of his statements, I think after the last weekend match, this was, and this was definitely a dig, I think, he said, if I wanted a nice, easy life, I could have quite easily stayed working at Brighton in the Premier League and signed a new contract and been absolutely okay. And I wouldn't have had too many questions about myself or pressure or sacking or anything like that. But the reason to come here, one of the reasons to come here, as they were many, it's a fantastic football club. I deeply contest that. Anyway, potentially one of the best in the world, he says, that can compete for any major trophy. We all know we are not at that point now, and we haven't been for 2 or 3 years. It's a reality. If you look at the league table and the points difference between the top two, so okay, how do you get there? That's hard work, pain and suffering, and moving towards blah blah blah.
Yeah, which pretty much all of that statement is bollocks. Starting with the fact that Chelsea won the Champions League a year and a half ago.
Exactly. Yeah. For starters.
So,
yeah.
If he means the Premier League, then that's fair enough. I can. They haven't been that close recently, but
I know some
Chelsea fans aren't going to accept that, though. They're not going to accept it.
They're ungrateful. That Tuchel was there. Now they seem to want him back.
No, they never wanted Tuchel gone. I don't think.
No, some did.
Maybe some, but I don't think any. I think it was very, very limited number. There was
Potter stuff, though, I think they've never been, and never will be, in my opinion, a fantastic football club.
No.
Better chances of trophies, fair enough. More money, of course,
as
well.
They're currently below us in the league and
exactly.
out of the league cup.
When they move. So that's all true.
Admittedly, we're not in the Champions League anymore. But
for me, we are a billion times more fantastic than Chelsea could ever dream of being.
Yeah.
Our club has a heart, it has a soul, it has more interesting history, it has class, it has genuine connection to its surrounding community.
I think that's unfair
on
Chelsea.
Epic scale.
They have a soul. It's just made of either, well, originally the kind of ruble and now the dollar.
But no, we've got a real tie with the community on an epic scale. It's the fans, and as a whole, we're infinitely better in a variety of ways. So we don't have a notable issue amongst our fan base with racism, hooliganism, arrogance, and general unpleasantness that not only associated with, but plague, and always have done, that festering, overblown football club with its massively overprivileged set of supporters. That's my view on it. And no offence to any Chelsea fans out there that listen, I know personally, namely Tony from Seagull South London. But as a club, I can't stand them. Same goes for Wetsham, and to a slightly smaller degree, Spurs. But quite honestly, that's that. Pete, I mean, what happens? Obviously, they had the Win Stanley thing. That's the other bit of news. It's now been announced that he's on gardening leave. He has actually offered his resignation, which presumably is therefore being accepted. What did you say about that?
I'm just waiting for the offer for the tea lady and the and Gully. That's the next step.
You said in midweek, you said it's genuinely incredible that we've lost our director of football, head of recruitment, manager, assistant manager, two coaches, goalkeeping coach, another recruiter, player of the season, best player and top scorer from the last three seasons this year. But we'll definitely
Two separate things, by the way. But wasn't best player and leading scorer.
Oh, yeah, no, that's it, yeah. But we'll definitely go into the World Cup in the top half and could be as high as fifth, depending on the results, and into the fourth round of the League Cup. All of which is true. Also, two youth scouts and two youth players
that, yeah,
as well, on top
yeah.
of that.
I mean, the youth scouts...
But on that basis, we're absolutely fantastic, isn't it?
It's stunning, really. I mean, and De Zerbi, after five games in a row without a win,
yeah,
came in. It took a while, but you can already see he's learned in the way that we took Potter almost two and a half, 3 years almost,
yeah,
to learn that we need a different approach for attacking.
Yeah.
And I know Andy Knott's going to completely disagree with me here, but the fact is, people were talking about it for so long until he started actually worked out we needed the plan B. And there were, you know, we did create a lot of chances in one season on the lockdown, but other season we didn't. And we didn't go long. And then suddenly we started doing that this year. Because Zerbi's worked that out already. Last weekend on Match of the Day, there were two long passes from Dunk, one of which led to the sending off, and one of which led to an early chance for Mark.
Dunk's long balls about there as well.
Potter wasn't doing that after five or six games. He's worked out in a he obviously starts off with a better base than Potter did. But yeah, it's
Darren said he's getting more out of certain players who need to fulfil potential. A couple of young ones like Enciso, but also people like Solly as well. Although he still hasn't scored yet, but nonetheless. We better get into the game.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's it for the episode. Didn't catch any more audio afterwards. Too busy drinking. But anyway, a fantastic weekend. Hopefully ahead. We've got the win in midweek against Arsenal. We're now looking forward to the Villa game, which was Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. And we're hoping to get another win to keep this winning run going. The good news is Palace lost at Nottingham Forest and Zaha missed a penalty, which is absolutely fantastic. And so we're definitely ahead of them going into this big break for the World Cup, and hopefully we can stay above Chelsea. Essentially, they lost, so we would have to lose by a great margin for that to be a problem. So, on the way down to the game now, it's Sunday, and let's hope for the best. Stand or fall, up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.